This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's a pleasure to be back at it once again. I know this halaqa was very well attended in the past, and we hope that it is once again soon, inshallah. We know that the first few days are usually like this, especially the first day of Ramadan being the day that everyone's body is getting a shock, you know, especially without having the coffee or the chai or the caffeine in general. And also, it being a weekend, sometimes it's a little bit more difficult to weekend than it is on the weekdays because of work in school. When we have work in school, sometimes it's easier. And then when we don't and we're at home, then, it becomes very lengthy and dry. So alhamdulillah, for those who don't know, 30 is live streamed. So I am live streaming at the same time, which is why I'm using the microphone and hoping that it stays a little bit down in the back and we don't hear that pickup sound. But also for anyone who's home. So I know that not every one of us will be able to attend every single day throughout the entire month of Ramadan. But sometimes when we're at home with our family, we might be able to, log in, turn on our devices, whether it's YouTube, Facebook, and still attend the halaqa, alhamdulillah, from the comforts of our home. Good. So in total, alhamdulillah, so far, like as I could see, you can't see, but the attendance is like pretty big online, alhamdulillah. So we do encourage everyone to come into the masjid. For those of you that are at home, feel free to come into the masjid. We do have iftar every single day, and we have dinner on Saturday nights. And we're going to be going through one juz of the Quran every single day. So just to give a little bit of, a heads up before we start, every day we'll try to go through some verses of the juz day of Ramadan. So today is the first day of Ramadan. So we're going to go through the first juz of the Quran. And we'll take some verses from the first juz. Obviously, in 45 minutes, we can't cover the entire juz, right? It's just there's too much to cover. In fact, if we think of it just reading or just reciting through the juz itself, it's lengthy. Like if you were to recite, especially if you're reciting and not just reading through it, but reciting, right? There's a difference between reading. Reading is like, but reciting is so we slow it down, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, recite the Quran and recite it slowly so that we ponder and reflect upon the verses of the Quran. So today, inshallah ta'ala, being the first Ramadan, we will take some examples from the first juz of the Quran, which comprises of Surah Al-Fatiha, the opening Surah of the Quran, and Surah Al-Baqarah is the cow, titled the Surah of the Cow, or the chapter of the cow. When we look at Al-Fatiha, I saw Surah Al-Fatiha a number of times, especially here in the masjid after Salah, so I'm not going to go into too much detail. But Surah Al-Fatiha in itself is shifa, right? There is cure in Surah Al-Fatiha for us. What we mean by this is that when you recite that first chapter, Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings goodness to us. And that goodness can come in many different forms. It may be that you are having a headache right now because of fasting. And so you put your hand on your head and you recite Surah Al-Fatiha a few times and you take a little bit of a break. Obviously, we need to take the physical necessary means as well. And you'll notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings ease to our life. In addition to that, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put multiple ayat throughout the Quran as shifa. Now the whole Quran is shifa. And what I mean by shifa is cure from illness, from hardship, from disease, from difficulty in life that we may be experiencing and going through. And these ayat can be found, of course, throughout the entire Quran. But Surah Al-Fatiha, specifically the Prophet alayhi wasallam, if he was feeling pain or anything of that sort, he would put his hand in that area wherever he felt the pain, and he would recite Surah Al-Fatiha. And this is good etiquette for when we go to visit someone who's sick. Okay? And I don't know what's going on in the sisters' area, but if any sisters want to join the halaqah, feel free. Otherwise, let's try to whisper, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. And so we'll transition. We notice that Surah Al-Fatiha in and of itself is praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah praising himself and us reciting it, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we go through the surah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, it begins with praise, right? Allah ta'ala is praising himself. And when we say this, that means he's saying it, therefore he, you know, is teaching us the importance of doing this. And then it transitions into us affirming our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our submission to him through our acts of ibadah. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. To you do we worship, right? You, Ya Allah, we worship you. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And it is you who we submit to and seek help and assistance from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah begins by praise, then transitions into us affirming our belief, and then dua, supplication, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. Asking Allah, guide us, give us hidayah. Hidayah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it also means like hidayah of the heart, but hidayah of the way. The way to live life. How do we do things? So if you ask someone like, اهدني إلى المطعم, guide me to the restaurant, right? Because that's what we think of when we're fasting, restaurants and food. So guide me to the restaurant. I need to get there as quickly as possible. That person is giving you hidayah, as in they're giving you guidance as to how to get there. It's just like our GPS, right? Google Maps, the voice command or voice guidance towards the destination that we're going. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. This towards that straight path. What is the straight path? صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. The sirat, the way. الَّذِينَ, صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. That you have blessed them with. Who? The pious, the righteous, those who are noble, those who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are connected to Allah azza wa jal. Right? When we think of the pious and noble, if you sit and you think in your mind, who are these righteous people? Sometimes we think of someone, if we're thinking of a righteous man, we think of someone who has a big beard, someone who is always praying, someone who wears very traditional clothing, someone who might, you know, not even use a vehicle, right? They might not use a phone. Right? They might be, as we say, someone who's zahid, someone who's given up a lot of the dunya. We usually think of that person as the pious person, the righteous person. But at the same time, actually we give the example of a sister as well. We think of a pious, righteous sister. A lot of the time we think who, you know, has raised children to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, someone who from the outside, you know, they're wearing hijab, they're wearing abba. You know, they live a certain lifestyle, but really a pious person is one who's connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that none of us can judge. None of us really knows. We might think someone is pious, someone is righteous, they're an imam, a sheikh, a sheikha, someone who's righteous, pious as a scholar. And the outward appearance shows us that this person is pious and righteous. But deep down, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what they conceal. And sometimes we see someone who we never would assume is pious or righteous. Someone who just looks like the average human being in society, who does that are not outstanding. You just don't recognize them. But in reality, that might be the pious person that lives amongst us. That we don't know what they conceal within them. We don't know the sadaqah they give because they give it so secretly that we can't even tell. We don't know how much extra raka'ah they're praying, because sometimes we might see them come and pray and leave right away. But but they're actually following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, going home and praying their sunnah, and then praying nafil prayers, and then making dua, and doing adhkar, right? And reciting Quran. And we might think of that person as the one who just comes and there's nothing, you know, special about them. The reality is that that person is pious. And that person's connection with Allah could be stronger than our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we learn not to ever judge anybody. You know, the statement is very famous, right? Don't judge a book by its cover. Never ever judge anybody. Never think that someone, you know, is, oh, this is the person they are because of, you know, how they look, so that's how they are. Right? Their sincerity in connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we see it in the example of the woman who saw the dog that was thirsty. And we all know this example. And off her shoe, her footwear. And this was a woman who would engage throughout the day in indecent acts. And she saw that was thirsty. And she took off her shoe and took her scarf or her clothing, right? A piece of her clothing, and tied it to her shoe and lowered it down to get water from the well. And pulls the shoe out and gives her footwear, her shoe, to the dog to drink, because the dog was so thirsty. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us that she gets her Jannah through that action. We would never think that this person is going to paradise. People would look at someone like that and be like, no, you know, they're probably going to go to Jannah first, right? That's usually what comes to mind. Oh, people who are sinners, they're going to Jahannam a little bit first, and then looks, right? But no, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says she earns her paradise. Such a small, kind act that shows the sincerity of the heart, intentions truly are. That's an example for us that we need to keep throughout the entire Quran. We begin by, you know, hearing about Surah Al-Fatiha, but within it, there are lessons that we continue to instill or implement within the ayat that we hear the Quran. We'll begin with this, inshaAllah ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. So if anyone has, you know, it's always good to open the Quran and look at the ayat. If you have the translation with you, if you have it on your phone, you know, your phone, you can always go to Quran.com, Quran.com, and then you can click on the. I like to use the clear Quran translation. The English is a lot more normal, I would say, if I could use that term. Normal as in, like, it's spoken English, right? It's spoken English. Not to say that translations are not good, but it's spoken English. So the younger generation, you know, the adults as well of today, and anyone who really, you know, didn't go through a very traditional British schooling system, you know, would be able to understand it. And alhamdulillah, some of us, our English, you know, your English, not mine. My English is terrible. It was the worst subject I ever attended in high school, right? My marks were the worst in English, alhamdulillah. And I'll admit that. I had much higher marks in French than English, alhamdulillah. So at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah Ta'ala starts this surah with the haruf al-muqatta'at. He says, A'udhu billahi minash shayateen. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون به ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. So at the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with disjointed letters. Alif, Lam, Mim. Alif, Lam, Mim. We call them the حروف المقطعات, the disjointed letters, because we don't join them together. We don't say Alam, right? Or Alim, or Alum, right? We say Alif, Lam, Mim. It's like saying A, B, C, right? Or saying the word, what's a three-letter word? Ice, right? We say I-C-E, I. Instead of saying sky, we would say K-Y. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is separating these letters. And the meaning is subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many, many opinions of scholars about the meanings of these letters could be. Some say that it indicates the paradise. Others say that it has to do with protection and so on and so forth. We leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because the Prophet alayhi wasallam recited them this way and he didn't tell us about them. He left them alif lam mim. The meaning of these letters is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then this surah, being Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us something special in this surah. So if there's a that you're going to recite throughout this entire month of Ramadan, the longest surah of the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَا تَجْعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قُبُورًا فَإِنَّ الْبَيْتَ الَّذِي تُقْرَأُ فِيهِ سُورَةُ الْبَقَرَةِ لَا يَدْخُلُهُ الشَّيْطَانِ لَا يَدْخُلُهُ الشَّيْطَانِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, make your homes as though they are graveyards. Graveyards. We don't go to the graveyard to pray. We go to the cemetery to bury someone who's passed away. Contrary to what we see some people doing in some cultures where people pray to the graves. This is against our deen and is considered shirk. And what is shirk? For those who may not know, it is worshipping something or someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To render a partner with Allah Azza wa Jalla. And I've seen this, I witnessed this multiple times. I've been to so many countries. I've even been to masajid where when I went into the masjid, the brothers explained to me that right in front of the mihrab, front of where the imam is standing, there's a grave of a pious person that's buried there. And so we were advised when we go to these, you know, trips on, you know, different countries that I've been to understand and know what goes on. Understand the people of the land that you're traveling to. Understand their beliefs. Understand their culture. And they are. Because understanding them is helping us in our deen. Like, how are we supposed to know? Asking and finding out. And then once we find out, would it be permissible for us to pray there? No. Would it be permissible for us to face that grave and to pray our prayers daily, 5 times a day? No. This is not something that we are meant to do. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is to make sure that the masjid is not facing a cemetery. The masjid is not facing a cemetery. Because as Muslims, we don't even want to give the impression to someone else, even though we know we don't worship the graves, we don't worship the dead, but we don't want to give the impression to someone who is not Muslim that we are worshiping a grave. Right? Yes. He was in the middle of a question. So, is it to do with the class or something else? It's frustrating. It is very frustrating, I know. So the brother is asking, for those who can't hear, why is it that, as the brother says, he feels that we are the worst people on earth? The reality is we are not. We might behave. You might see actions of people that show as that is the case. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ.
This light we are using is created by invented by America. So what we did,
This is the Ramadan that will make dua to Allah that we become better. May Allah make it easy for every single one of us. Ameen. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Yes, you were saying. Good question. So I forgot your name. Shahbaz is asking, does that mean that a cemetery can't be even 10 meters away from the masjid? Well, as long as it's not immediately in front of the masjid or immediately in front of you wherever you're praying. If it's further away, there's things in between, that's different, right? Obviously, if we draw a straight line in a direction, or even in the direction of the Qibla from here, I'm sure we're going to, you know, go through many cemeteries until we reach the Qibla, right? And remember, we're not praying to the Qibla, we're praying towards the Qibla. That's a specific direction. And so this surah in itself is important because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, don't make your homes as though they're graveyards. As in, do ibadah, do acts of worship. The people in the grave, they're not alive worshiping. They're dead, laying in the graves, experiencing that life, the barzakh, which is for a topic for another day. And so he says, فَإِنَّ الْبَيْتَ الَّذِي تُقْرَأُ فِيهِ سُورَةُ الْبَقَرَةِ Verily, the home that Suratul Al-Baqarah is recited in, لَا يَدْخُلُهُ الشَّيْطَانِ Shaytan will not enter that home. Now this is important because a lot of we think to ourselves, we're safe. And we take it for granted that alhamdulillah, I'm healthy, everything's good with me, I have no issues, life is great, I have an awesome job, the money's coming in, kids are well, alhamdulillah, everything's good. And then out of nowhere, something changes. And then we start to wonder to ourselves. And then a lot of the time what happens is people come in and they come to me and they ask, I have this problem. I think it's jinn related. I think it's sihr or magic related. What do I do? And the first questions that imams always will ask to the people who come in is, tell me about yourself. Tell me about your home. Tell me about your life. And they say, oh, you know, this is what I do. Our house, you know, okay, what type of decorations do you have in your house? Explain your house to me. Okay, our house looks like this, two floors, rooms. Okay, but do you guys pray in your house? No, we don't really pray at home. You know, sometimes if our parents come and visit us, I pray. Right? Oh, so you don't pray at home. Okay. Do you guys ever sit down and recite the Quran? No, we don't recite the Quran. Okay. Are there pictures hanging in your house? Yeah, there's pictures hanging in our house. Do you believe in any of those pictures? As in pious people, righteous people? Yeah, of course. You know, there's so-and-so person, Bir, Janab, and so-and-so on the wall that, you know, different cultures hang different people on their walls and they think this is going to protect them. Okay. You have any other things that you think are protecting you in your house? They say, yeah, my mom gave me this to hang in this room and my dad gave me that to put under my pillow. And okay, mashallah. And so our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely missing. Our submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely missing. And what we're doing is we are seeking help and refuge in other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when it comes to reciting the Quran and saying, oh, Surah Al-Baqarah is too long, I can't recite it, I'm sorry, it's too hard. And what happens is people call me and say, Dawood, can you come to my house? Can you come to my store? Right? Someone opens a new business or something. Can you come to our house and recite Surah Al-Baqarah? Why should I go to your house and recite it? You recite it yourself. Open the Quran and recite it. No, it's going to take me too long. That's okay. That's okay. We aren't meant to finish the Quran in one night. We should take our time with the Quran, ponder over it, reflect over the verses within the Quran. And so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals this to us and he says, Alif lam mim, dhalika al-kitabu la hudan lil-muttaqin. He says, this is a book. There is no doubt in it. It is a guide for those who are mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I usually keep a mushaf on my desk when I'm teaching just to use as examples or for examples. But some of you have the Quran or mushaf with you. It's okay, you can keep it. So, no, it's okay. Keep it.
You know, we hold on to it. But if you were to lose your Quran, would you really feel lost? Like if you misplaced your Quran, would you be like, oh no, what do? Like, how am I going to live? How am I going to survive? But if you misplaced your phone, how would you feel? You know the moment when your phone goes missing? You go online and you start tracking it. Like, where's my phone? I remember one time my wife misplaced her phone, right? And she's like, don't use me as an example. I went to the gas station. The family was in the car, filled up gas. My wife went in. She paid, right? This was a few years back. We get home. Phone is missing. Where is it? I don't know. I think the battery wasn't charged so much or something like that. I don't know. Maybe it died. Trying to track it, looking everywhere, went back to the gas station, walked around, went inside, I'm looking around, the guy's like, is everything okay? Like, because I look suspicious, right? I'm like looking around, you know, checking out the counter, around the cash, looking around. He's like, everything okay? I'm like, yeah, my wife lost her phone, I'm just trying to see if it's here, you know. Checked everywhere, couldn't find the phone. And the tracking was saying it's in the car. So I'm like going in the car, I'm like, I ripped the whole everything out of the car already, I'm like, I can't find it. So I was like, right in between the seat and the middle console. It's literally, if you just look down, you see it. But the headache and the strain of going and finding it was like, subhanAllah, how much does it cost? All of my information is on it. Pictures are on it. Data is on it. Emails are on it. You know, contacts, everything is gone. You feel like your life is missing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That book that we hold on to, that we just call a book, it contains the of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, it's a book and it's bound, but it is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is guidance for us. Those who are mindful, he says, Huda, hudan lil muttaqeen. Who are the muttaqeen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. Who are the people who are mindful of? In the next verse, he says, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. He says, those who are of Allah are the ones who believe in the unseen. Now, believing in the unseen, sometimes people misunderstand this and they're like, oh, we have to believe in like the supernatural and all. No. Believe in the unseen in every aspect. You can see that your heart is beating right now, but you didn't even think of it until I mentioned it. Yet it's still beating. We don't think that our blood is rushing until we are mentioned, or until it is mentioned that the blood is running through our veins, and we think, oh yeah, subhanAllah, who's making the blood run through our veins? We don't think that sound is being processed with waves entering our ears and the drum moving and our brain computing everything and allowing us to not only hear the sound, but give meaning to the sound, like the word sound, the word cat, right? It's just it's sound waves that we're hearing. Like, if I knock, what do you hear? You hear, and your brain thinks, oh, that sound is the sound of someone knocking on a table. And your brain knows what a table is, and your brain knows what a person is, and your brain knows what a hand is. And so believing in all of that, believing that Allah has control over everything. Allah has control over our lives. Allah has control over the forgiveness as well. You see, we do things in life and a lot of the time we think Allah will never forgive us because we believe in what we see. And a lot of the time, the challenge is believing in Allah, especially with the younger generation. They can't believe in something they can't see. And so Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Those who believe in the unseen. Can we see Allah? Right? We start to become confused when we ask these questions. Like, wait a second. Yeah, that's right. I believe in Allah, but I can't even see Him. And I like to use examples of modern day things. You probably heard me use this example before. Wi-Fi. We believe so strongly that Wi-Fi can order us a meal when we're starving at all time, right? We believe so strongly that clicking on the screen of my phone will send a message over some invisible
stream to this place called Uber Eats that will give another signal to Sarant somewhere that will tell them not only the type of pizza I want, but the size, the items on it, what I don't want on it, and how quickly it's going to be delivered to my home. They don't even know where I live. They don't even know who I am, but that information reaches them. We believe in all of that so firmly, right? Like, it's we don't even think twice. Like, how does this happen? We just go and do it. You go online and you shop. You want to buy something? You want to buy new glasses? You go online and you shop and you buy them. You want to buy, you know, toilet paper for your home? You go online, you buy it, and it shows up at your door. How did it get there? Allah knows. But our brains can think and put things together. But there's missing links. There's the unseen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right now, we don't see Him. But He shows us signs of His existence. Signs of His existence. And one of the greatest signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power and might and strength is you. Look in the mirror. And when we look in the mirror, we say the dua, Allahumma anta hassanta khalqi fahassin khuluqi. O Allah, you have perfected my outer appearance. So perfect me on the inside, my manners, my behavior, my character. Because subhanAllah, when we think of it, even our character is unseen to the person sitting next to us. You are looking at me and I'm looking at you. You don't really know what's down inside of me, and I don't even know what's deep down inside of you. Yet we believe in it. So we should believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are examples that we give to the younger generation so that they know and feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need to show Himself to us. He shows us signs. You know, the brother was mentioning the electricity and the lights. I always use the lights as an example as well. The electricity coming down. Subhanallah. How is it that the light is a tube that we're seeing glowing to here? It's traveling. We don't see it traveling. And then it's glowing because there's electricity in it. Right? Electricity that's going through the wires that are touching the two ends of the tube light. And the electricity passing through this end and that end, and it glows. Especially in the old style, you know, mint. The wire that goes inside of the light bulb. But when you look at the wire, you take the wire. And if you cut it open, and you touch it, you get hurt. But if you cut it open and don't touch it, and you just look at it, do you see anything? See electricity? No. If you feel it, oh, it's life. It's real. It's there. If you taste it, oh man, don't do that, right? But it's there. It's real. Believe in it so much. We need electricity for everything. Now, like electric cars and everything, right? Our phones, cars, tablets, everything is. We believe in it so much. It's there. But you look at the wire, you can't see the electricity. And where did it come from? Water. If it's hydroelectricity, it came from water. And what did the water do? Just turn a turbine and generate electricity. Yeah, we believe in that, but we can't believe in Allah. People say, oh, I can't see it, so I can't believe in it. I wouldn't say take the electric wire and touch them, but you know, maybe if you want to just take a 9-volt battery and put on their tongue, that might be a good example, right? Alhamdulillah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we'll finish up soon, inshallah, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ Sorry. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ He says, those who believe in the unseen, they establish their prayer. And وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ And they donate from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided them with. They donate from that which Allah has provided them with. We don't need to be millionaires to give donations. Sadly, the Western world that we live in has made us feel as though donations is only in the form of dollars and not anymore, right? Just dollars. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want just dollars from us. Give to someone who needs your time. Give your energy to someone who needs your energy, right? Someone who's sick, who can't get up. Earlier today, a brother messaged me, you know, his mom's going to have a surgery similar to what my dad had. And he was asking, you know, how long is the recovery? And so subhanAllah, I was telling him, explaining to him how he is and telling him, you might need to be there for 2 weeks just to help your mom to get up and sit down. Because her knee might not have, you know, if you have a knee replacement surgery, your leg doesn't have enough energy in it. And the other leg is still weak because you just had the surgery. You can't lift yourself up and you might lose your balance and fall over. And so you give your energy, you give your time to someone who needs it. Like now, alhamdulillah, you see volunteers here giving their time in the back. Some of them are giving their time because they're genuine. And others are giving their time because they need it for high school. Right? Let's be honest. Some are giving it because they're genuine and some are giving it because they need it for high school. But training them to volunteer comes through the need to have it for high school. So they might go and do it. Be like, hey, this is cool, I love this, and they make sense, and they want to be in the masjid more often. And like, you realize that through their volunteer work, they end up becoming people that constantly give back. So the school training them to do like 50, 60 hours of volunteer work leads to them volunteering in sectors for the rest of their life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, those who are mindful of Him, the muttaqoon, those who think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often, those who submit to Him in believing in the unseen, and they establish their prayer, and they give sadaqah, they're constantly giving in charity. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِن قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. And there are those who believe in what has been revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what was revealed before him, and have sure faith, firm faith in the hereafter. Because the hereafter is important. When you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you realize that this world doesn't really mean too much. You realize that you have all the luxuries that you could ever possibly want, and more. You realize that the way you were raised as a child and then came, you might have come to Canada and you look at the way you're living now and you're like, subhanAllah, we have so much more. But you might feel sad inside. I was talking to one of my friends who lives in a country in Africa just the other day, 2 days ago. And subhanAllah, I told him in the message, I said, you have nothing of this world. When we talk about the material world, they have nothing. What they have, things they have, is nothing compared to what we have. But I told him, I said, the children that I see in the video that come from that country, your children are happy. They're excited. Like someone comes to visit them to dig a well and give them water. And thousands of children come out and they're like, hey, they're like dancing and cheering. Muslim, they're so happy. They're all excited. All the children are like going crazy. And over here, if our children are thirsty, we give them a bottle of water. Like, just water? You know how many? It's like, thirsty. I am thirsty. I want orange juice. Well, you want orange juice? Oh, okay. Then you go and you get some Kool-Aid, put some powder in the water, and you give it to them, right? I don't even know if they sell Kool-Aid anymore. And you give it to them, like, what is this? I don't want this. And then they grow up. They become teenagers, and they want a coffee. And so you're like, you guys want a coffee? You're driving somewhere. You have teenage children. You stop at Tim Hortons. They're like, Tim Hortons? Why are you stopping at Tim Hortons? Like, well, what's wrong with Tim Hortons? It's dirty black. Let's go to Starbucks and get a, you know, latte or something. You know, I need latte with raspberry and chocolate shavings and cinnamon flakes on top and mashallah, right? 600, 700 calories per sip, right? And then you give it to them and they take 3-4 sips. They drink half of it and they're like, it's cold. They leave it aside and walk away. That's happiness? There's no happiness in that. There's no in that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us, you need to believe in the hereafter and look forward to the hereafter. Because the more you have of this dunya, the more you become bored of it. It's irrelevant. It's not important anymore. You have a nice winter coat, eventually you want another winter coat. You have nice shoes, eventually you want new shoes. You have a nice phone, you have the latest cell phone. All of a sudden someone comes out and shows you their phone. You're like, man, I want that phone. And you go and you trade yours in, even though you just got it the other day, right? We trade it in for another phone. We're not happy because we think things make us happy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. It is they who are truly guided by their Lord, and it is they who will be successful. Simplicity of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us who the people are that are mindful of Him, the rewards that they get by constantly thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will see as we continue through our journey in learning about the verses of the Quran. We'll stop now, inshallah ta'ala. I'd like to stop about 10 minutes before the adhan, just to give everyone time for dua. You know, this is a time when dua is accepted. The last few minutes before Maghrib time enters, it's a time when dua is accepted. And so we should use this time, not only because it's a time when dua is accepted, but also because you're fasting, right? We are all fasting. And the dua of the fasting person when they're about to break their fast is a dua that is blessed and accepted. So use this time to make dua if you sit here, or maybe you go, if the volunteers are okay with us going and sitting over there, sit down over there and, you know, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the food you're about to eat. Raise your hands and do shukr to Allah azza wa jal. Jazakum Allahu khayran. We'll see all of you tomorrow, inshallah wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.